All right. Well, our kids are heading downstairs. They're going to continue their study through the Old Testament. And we are going to see Emma. We're going to, I love how she waves every time when she walks by. We're going to continue our Christmas series as we walk through understanding exactly what it is that Christ came to accomplish for us, his people. And this morning, we're talking about the idea of peace. Peace from God, the peace of God, and ultimately Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Before we get started, I want to make sure that we understand exactly what we're talking about and what we're not talking about, because I think this is going to be important for us. So this time every year, it happens to me this time December every year, it happens to me all the time. I lose my man card because the word gets out that I enjoy watching Hallmark movies with my wife, cuddled up on the couch in our jammies. So let's get the laughs out now. So yes, I do enjoy that. Don't laugh so hard. But I do enjoy those things and I do enjoy that time together. It's a lot of fun. But hear me. We have to be careful, and there's a few dangers, and this might sound funny, but there's dangers even with Hallmark Christmas movies. And let me tell you what that is that when you watch the movies, they're all pretty much the same, right? They're pretty much the same. The Christmas tree farm is always saved. The musician who goes away to seek fame always comes back to the small town and always is reunited with the love of his life from high school. It always happens. The Christmas wishes are always granted. The mistletoe is always in the exact right spot, and the couple always walks under it, and they always kiss. Like, that's the story of Hallmark Christmas movies. And if you watch them again... Some of you are sick just hearing me describe it. Here's the danger, though. We enjoy those things, and I think here's why. There is something deep inside of all of us that longs for peace, that longs for that happy storybook ending. They lived happily ever after. We long for that deep and down inside of each one of us. The danger comes, though, is when we look at that Hallmark movie, we look at that as if that's the meaning, like this is what it's all about. This is the meaning of life. This is what true peace looks like. But when we look at the scriptures, that's actually not what true peace looks like. It's not found in a Hallmark movie. There's a different kind of peace that we're going to look at as we walk through a couple passages this morning. The big idea this morning is this. Is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, sent from God to make the way for us to have peace with God and experience the peace of God. All right, so that's what we're going to track through, and we're going to do it in that order as well. So if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 beginning, and then we're going to work into some other different passages. So Luke chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. The Word of God says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.'" Next week, we're going to spend some time in that word, Savior. We're going to spend some time there. Did I lose it? Check, we're still there. All right, let's keep going. "A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Well, Lord Jesus, as we dive into your word, as we reflect on you, the true Prince of Peace, Lord, would you open up our hearts to receive your word and that we would apply it to our lives, that we wouldn't just be hearers, but that we would be doers of your word as well. So, Lord, would you meet with us in these moments? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God and peace to men. Glory to God and peace to men. The question is then, okay, so the angels are shouting to these shepherds, peace has come. Peace has come. So what does that peace look like? Now, what we need to do, though, is because their understanding of peace and their understanding of anything having to do with the Messiah would have come from their Old Testament scriptures. That's all that they had. And there's a lot of passages that we could look at that give info and give information and give shadows of the Messiah, this anointed one who was going to come to ultimately redeem and rescue his people. But if we look just for a moment in Isaiah, we looked at it last week, Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, this is what we see about this coming Messiah. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Right, so at the outset, this is not just an ordinary child, is it? This is a ruling, reigning child, a son who is going to come, and the government will be upon his shoulders. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So what I want us to do is look at Prince of Peace from their eyes. So here's what we need to know, is that we're reading this, but we're reading this out of their context, right? We're reading it not as shepherds. We're not reading it as shepherds. We're not reading it as Israel being in captivity. We're not reading this as divided kingdoms. Like, we're not there in that moment with them. But in the life of the history of Israel, they were... To say that they didn't experience much peace is an understatement. I mean, they were constantly and continually in turmoil, whether it was from hard pressed from enemies on every side, or whether it was a result of their own sin against God and them being under correction and judgment. They went through a lot in their history. So when they heard from the prophet Isaiah that there was a coming child, they would have started to look right around them. They would have started to look at, is it going to be his son? Is it going to be... Like, they had a different perspective because they didn't know Jesus, right? So we're looking back, 2020, through the lens of the cross. We see Jesus, we know the Messiah, and we get to look back on this. They didn't have that. And so they're looking and wanting this, you know, longing for this peace, longing for some restoration, but they didn't yet know all that God was going to do. They didn't fully understand that. So when they see this word, Prince of Peace, so two words, Prince and Peace. The word Prince in Hebrew is the word Sar, and it's actually a military term. So follow along with me for a minute. So when they heard that, it's used 300 sometimes in the Old Testament, and almost always it's translated, not prince, but like commander or chief or captain. It conveys this idea of one who controls the force of the military. So they are a dominant, authoritative person. And so they see Prince. Okay, so here he is. This guy's going to be the man. He's the one who rules and conquers, and this is the captain. And so then you say, okay, what's going to come next? The captain of what? The commander of what? Well, not of war. What comes next? Not of conquest, but he will be the commander, the captain of peace, of shalom. So they probably would not have expected that last part. They were waiting for this coming conqueror, this great, majestic person who was going to come in and was going to right all the wrongs and wipe out the enemy. This commander, though, this prince, was going to be a prince of shalom, of peace. Now, when we think about peace in our day, maybe it goes to Hallmark movies. Maybe you think about that kind of way. Or maybe you just think the absence of war, right? We think, all right, we want peace in Ukraine right now. Like, we're praying for peace between those in the Middle East. We're praying for the hostility to be resolved. We're praying for those things. We're praying for, basically, we want that war and turmoil to cease. That's what we want. So a lot of times when we think about peace, that's how our minds go. At least that's how mine goes. Let's get rid of this war, this fighting, sort of the absence of strife or the absence of trouble. But in the scriptures, shalom is much deeper than that. It's much deeper than just two men laying down their weapons. In fact, you could call that a truce, but it's not peace. If you're a student of history, I heard about this several months ago, I think for the first time, but I studied a little bit more in depth this week and was just fascinated. Have you ever heard of the Christmas Day truce during World War I? So I'm late to the game, apparently, in this. But I was fascinated by this story. So if you're like me and you're not in the loop, so in the early parts of World War I, the war started, I think, in like June or July, and then by Christmas time, they were in full force, the fighting. And so specifically, though, on one night, Christmas Eve, during the battle, there was two forces, the British and the Germans, that were actively involved in firefight. And I read that during that time, they would dig these trenches, and they often commonly fought outside of these trenches. And then in the middle of it, they had a little place called No Man's Land. And it was where, you know, you don't go there. Like, that's where the bullets are going. Like, you don't want to be there. So one night, Christmas Eve, during the nighttime, some of the British soldiers heard some singing. They listened and they realized that the Germans, some 200 feet away, were singing Christmas carols in their right there behind their line, in their trench. So the British listened. They listened some more. And then finally, somebody said, "Hey, come over here." Well, they hollered back, "You meet us halfway, and we'll meet you halfway." And so they did. The German soldiers and the British soldiers met in the middle, and for one day, they laid down their weapons, and they just experienced what they would write about later as one of the most profound moments of their lives, where enemy soldiers put down their weapons and they played soccer, like they played football there in the middle of it. Was like they described it. You can find journal articles and things from people who were there and experienced it, and they describe it as something that was so incredibly precious for one day, right? It came for a moment. And then just like that, after Christmas was over, they picked up their weapons and they began killing each other. So it was a truce, but it wasn't peace. It wasn't shalom. You see, in the Old Testament, the word shalom meant more than just not killing each other. It meant a sense of wholeness or flourishing. It was like true harmony. It meant to be completely and wholly satisfied, safe, and secure. So the people of Israel longed for shalom. They had a deep longing in their heart for everything to be right. Here's the problem, is that most of them looked for shalom horizontally, right? That means that they looked for it among the enemies that were around them. They looked for shalom. They looked for peace or a truce among their enemies that were trying to get them. They wanted safety and security physically. But there was another kind of shalom that they didn't actually fully understand that they really needed. You see, there's a different kind of peace. That was a different kind of peace. And so when Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, he came to bring a peace that they didn't even realize that they needed. And that was peace vertically, peace between us and the God who made us. So that's our next point, is that through Jesus, we can have peace with God. Peace that we ultimately, maybe, didn't even realize that we needed. Do you guys remember the first Christmas when you were a kid, maybe you're a teenager? I remember mine. The first Christmas when you got the presents that you needed, but not the presents that you wanted. Anybody ever remember that? Okay, so what I mean by that is that when you're a kid, you get all the toys and the gadgets and the stuff, and it's the fun stuff. But I remember very clearly that Christmas, I think I was like 18 years old, and I opened that first present, like, oh, that's right, here's the new stereo system, here it is. No, socks. All right, that's okay. All right, we got a lot of presents to go, lots of good stuff, and get to the next one, here we go, it's going to be great. T-shirts. All right, okay, so still some hope, and I go to the next one, and here, a belt. I needed that. Yeah, I did. Okay, all right. So then, and I went on and on and on until finally the last one's there. There's finally, it's the last present. Surely this is going to be that, you know, that cool new, you know, flashlight spy gadget that I've been wanting as an 18-year-old. And I opened it up, and, you know, there it was, boxer shorts. And yes, I did. I needed those, but I didn't want those for Christmas. You see what I'm saying? There was something that I needed that I didn't necessarily always just, you know, want to receive in that moment. Since that day, I've actually had to tell, my mom says, what do you want for Christmas? I say, I want gadgets to feel like a kid again. That's literally what my list says almost every time. That's just who I am. But they're going to receive, and Jesus was going to come and provide. This Messiah was going to come and give and provide and offer a peace that they didn't even fully realize that they needed. And that's what you and I, the deepest need of our heart, is not the trouble that we're in our family. Right? That's big. And so we all come to the room this morning, and we carry burdens and hurts and heartaches, and it's heavy and it's hard, right? And so all of us are facing different things. And so you might be here and you say, Jared, like, yeah, I really just want peace in my home, and I want peace in our, you know, in our government and in our world. Or I want this trouble that I'm facing right now, I just want that stuff to stop. Like, that's the thing that I feel most presently right now. And that's true, because in the world there's a lot of problems. There's starvation, and there's abuse, and there's suffering, and there's lots of things that are wrong with the world. But what is our fundamental problem? The fundamental problem that we have that stands against us is that we are sinners separated from God. Listen, like, the scripture describes us as having all have sinned, and we are at enmity with God. It says that we are all like sheep and have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. The scripture says in Ephesians 2 that we are enemies of God. We are born by nature children of wrath, alienated from God. So I go back to that question. So then what is our deepest need? Then we need to be reconciled to God. Like, that is fundamentally at the core, the deepest need of every human heart, to be reconciled to the God who made us. So how does that happen? And that is the incredible, amazing, glorious story of Christmas. Is that Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby, did he? Pastor Kevin talked about last week, he doesn't stay this precious little baby in the manger. No, he grows up and he lives a perfect, sinless life. And then Jesus went to the cross, bearing the weight of the wrath of God, bearing the sins of the world on himself, was buried, and then rose again on the third day. And through Jesus, we can have peace with God. We can have reconciliation with God, our Father. But you might be here, you might say, Jared, like, listen, I just want to feel peaceful. I just want peace in my family. Like, that's really all that I want right now. It might be all that you think that you want, but it's not all that you need. You see, what Jesus was doing, it's what Luther called this great exchange, where Jesus was taking my sin on himself and he was giving us his righteousness so that we could be found right before God the Father and we could be restored back into a right relationship with God. That's the deepest need that every single person has. And so your family member who's lost right now, they have a lot of trouble and they have a lot of problems, but their deepest need, it's not the debt that they're in. It's not the alienation from their family. It's not the problems of their living situation. The deepest need of their heart is to be restored to the God who made them and loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. And so Jesus came so that we could have peace with God. If you look quickly at Romans chapter 5, we see this clearly. It says, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through, who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one might dare to die. But God shows or demonstrates his love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have been now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. You see, on the cross, Jesus made peace for us because you and I couldn't do it. There's nothing that you and I could do to remove the alienation, the hostility that we have between God and us because of our sin. So Jesus came to do that for us. It's the truth that Charles Wesley was talking about. Charles Wesley wrote some 6,000 hymns. He wrote hymns as a way to communicate truth to those who were poor and illiterate. That was the mission behind why he wrote. He wanted to convey biblical truths and sound doctrine to people so they could sing them when they couldn't read them. So he would write hymns and songs, and he wrote the song that we sing often this time of year, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Well, he wrote this, and listen to the words. He says, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners, what? Reconciled. You see, the world around us doesn't even know that when you hear this in the mall, they're proclaiming the gospel in front of everyone. That's what Jesus came to bring for us. That is the peace that you and I need the most. And it's the peace that so many of us in the room have found in Christ through his sacrifice for us. Now, there's another kind of peace that Jesus talks about, though. It's that once we have received and experienced at peace with God, then we can have peace, the peace, and know the peace of God. Through Jesus, we can experience the peace of God. Now, hear me. I'm not talking about Hallmark movie peace, right? I'm not saying that once you have peace with God, then suddenly the Christmas family farm is going to all come back together. Then suddenly your Christmas dinner is going to all be perfect and beautiful. And that's not what he's talking about. In fact, Jesus makes it very, very clear what he's talking about. In John 14:27, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You see, Jesus says, I'm going to give you a peace, but it's a different kind of peace than the world offers. The world tries to offer us sort of a peace of mind and maybe a circumstantial peace when things around me are going okay. But Jesus offers a different kind of peace. It's a peace in the midst of the trouble, not the absence of it. It's a peace that passes all understanding when everything in your life is crashing around you. He explained it in John 16. He said, I say these things to you that in me, Jesus, you might have peace. In this world, right, that we're in right now, the world that you're in right now, the daily stuff that you are experiencing right now, Jesus said, in that world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trial. You're going to have tribulation. It's going to be difficult. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So what Jesus is saying is that through him, so the world you're going to have trouble, but through me, you can experience peace even in the midst of the trouble. So it's crazy because he's saying, like, in this world you're going to have trouble, but don't be troubled, right? Don't be troubled by the trouble that you're experiencing. So he says, I'm going to give you my peace so that in my peace, you can experience peace in the midst of trouble and not be troubled. That's the promise that we have in him. The problem for you and me is that oftentimes we want, desire, and sometimes even expect the Hallmark movie peace. And when we don't get that, we think, okay, then something's wrong. God's not faithful. God's not right. Something is wrong. Richard Baxter, a theologian Puritan in the 1600s, he wrote this. He said, it is folly. Listen, it's folly to expect any stable peace or solid joy that does not come from Christ as the foundation. No wonder you're comfortless when heaven is forgotten. When Christians let fall their heavenly expectations but heighten their earthly desires, they are preparing themselves for fear, trouble, and anxiety. What keeps us under trouble is either we do not expect what God has promised or we expect what he has not promised. We are grieved at crosses, losses, wrongs of our enemies, unkind dealings of our friends, sickness, and for contempt and scorn in this world. But who encouraged you to expect any better? Was it prosperity, riches, credit, and friends that God called for you to believe? Do you have any promises of these things in his word? And Jesus says, no. In fact, it's the opposite. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a different kind of peace. It's a peace that when things are crumbling around you, you will be safe and secure, and you will be guarded by the peace of God when everything else is crashing around us. And this isn't a warm, fuzzy feeling. This isn't just when, you know, I really feel peaceful today. No, it has nothing to do with feelings. No, it has to do with a confidence and a trust in the wise protection and leading of God in your life. It's a trust. It's trusting in God. I remember in 2018, in fact, Vicky, you can come on up. Worship team, you can come on up. In 2018, church, if you were with us during that time, you remember the struggle. It's right here. That the Haskins family went through. Brother Keith was really sick, and it was a back and forth battle and a back and forth struggle with, we thought he was doing better, and, you know, after the surgery, and we were like, you know, really thinking that this was going to turn the corner, and then it would get more bad news, and then we would get, it was quite literally a roller coaster of emotions. And so, and that's just from my perspective. From Miss Vicky, Keith's wife, it was a totally different thing. I can't even imagine the different feelings and emotions that she felt during that time. When Brother Keith passed away, I remember being there with Miss Vicky, and I wanted to have all the right words to say. I wanted to say all the things, and I wanted to bring comfort to her heart, and but I didn't have all the right words to say, and sometimes all I could do is just like hug you and cry because I didn't have the words that I could give to her. But I remember that there was a moment after that when she said to me, she said, Jared, she said, this may not make sense, but I know things didn't work out like we hoped that they would. She said, but I have experienced a peace that doesn't make sense because nothing has turned out like I thought it would or wanted it to. And yet, God has so filled my heart with his peace in the midst of the struggle and the hurt. And I wanted us for a moment just to hear from her perspective just for a moment.
All of you know that know me know that I'm emotional. So in talking, I may cry. I know I'm talking to people that love me, and I'm thankful for that. But I had to write it down. So Jared had asked me to share with you my experience with the Prince of Peace during the most difficult, painful, and sad time of my life. Many of you know what I'm talking about, but there are some who may not, so I will bring you up to date. In February of 2018, Jared's explained some of this, but my husband Keith had quadruple bypass surgery on his heart. The surgery appeared to be successful, and we were excited and celebrated the idea that he would make a full recovery. There were complications that even now I do not fully understand. On June 29th, we began a journey that brought us to our knees. My husband collapsed in our living room. He managed to walk to the car, and I drove him to the hospital. He was soon transferred to Warren Oak Memorial Hospital. We had no idea he would be there for 81 days, fighting for his life. He returned home on September 17th under hospice care. Not the results we were hoping for. He passed on September 20th, surrounded by his family, friends, our pastor. He transitioned to heaven with my son David playing the guitar, my daughter Jessie, and the rest of the family there singing his favorite hymns, and a precious bye-bye papa from his one and only granddaughter who was only 6 months old. I wrote in my journal on November 14th, less than 2 months since he had passed. Believers are always under the canopy of God's grace and love. And there is nothing we can do to change that, right? My testimony would begin with a song by Casting Crowns, O My Soul. Some of the lyrics follow. O my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay this down, because you are not alone. Two phrases resonated with me. One is, you are not alone. I had memorized Psalm 23 as a child. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God showed me his presence in so many ways. I saw miracles in the midst of my trials. Although God did not answer the prayers to heal Keith here on earth, he answered many others, even those I wasn't prepared to ask. I wanted to share just a couple of quick examples, but there were so many more. I was afraid to walk out to the parking garage. Simple, right? But I was afraid to walk out alone in the dark, and I prayed. God put 6 security guards on the elevator with me that night. I wasn't ever afraid after that. God showed me he had my back. Keith had an unexpected emergency surgery on his birthday. I did not have time to gather all my faithful prayer warriors to pray over us. We desperately longed to have someone praying. My phone rings while we're sitting in the surgical preparation area. Our former pastor, who had not spoken with us for several years, called, only just learning that Keith was in the hospital. Prayed over us. These were things that he knew came straight from God. There were many. We were never alone. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The second phrase is, there's a place where fear has to face the God you know. It's so important that all of you understand that all my fears came face to face with God, but I knew Him. I knew Him because I had been walking with Him intimately for over 30 years. During this time, my faith was being built on His Word. Little by little, God had shown His faithfulness to me over and over through many trials over the years. When I came to this time in my life, I knew God from His Word and the Holy Spirit that dwelt in me. He would never leave me. These are things that I knew already when I got there. Prepare yourself with His Word. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I have downsized some of these verses. His ways were higher than mine. Now we see dimly in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, pray. The peace of God, which is what I had, transcends all understanding, that it guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. God is in control, even when our circumstances say otherwise. Have you thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there? God had gone before us and prepared a place for us so that we, where He was, we could also be. Death is swallowed up in victory. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in death, we win. My peace, my strength came from knowing God. I knew Him. He was a God who knew me and prepared me to face the fiery furnace. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace.
Vicki, thank you. Thank you for modeling that for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Jared, I'm not experiencing any peace in my life. I'm not experiencing this peace that everybody talks about. I don't feel peaceful. It could be this morning that maybe you're not experiencing the peace of God because you've never had peace with God. And right now, this morning, that's what needs to happen for you. Is that today needs to be the day where you cry out to a holy God for mercy and forgiveness of your sins. And that relationship can start today, right now. Or maybe you're here and you just, things are coming crashing around you. And maybe you've been looking for peace in the wrong places. Peace from a doctor's visit or peace from a relationship being restored, or maybe even peace in a bottle. It's not found there. It's only ever found in the Lord Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to have a moment together to pray before the Lord. The worship team is going to sing in just a moment, and as they do, we're going to respond to whatever it is that God is doing in our hearts. Like I said, for many of us, I've just not been feeling peaceful. I've been looking for peace in the wrong places. But for some right now, it needs to be your prayer before God in heaven. And right there where you're at, listen to me, right there where you are, you can cry out to the God who made you. And you can say, oh God, I'm a sinner, I'm separated, and I'm broken. But I believe that you sent Jesus to save me from my sin. And so right now, the best I know how, I cry out to you. Would you forgive me? Would you have mercy on me? Would you make me your child? Listen, right now, as you have this moment before the Lord, if that's you this morning, you say, Jared, yeah, that's me. I'm ready to start today. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me in this moment? If that's you and you say, Jared, would you slip your hand? Let me know. Just say, Jared, would you pray for me? I want to give my whole heart to Jesus today. We want to follow up with you. We want to walk with you. Maybe you're in here this morning and you'd say, Jared, I'm going through some stuff right now. And Jesus is my Prince of Peace. But in this moment, in my struggle, would you pray for me and my family? Would you just slip your hand for a moment? Just say, Jared, would you pray for me? Yeah. Thank you. So, Lord, right now, in this moment, we pray on behalf of those here in our church family, in our midst, that are struggling, that are hurting, that are broken. Lord, we want your peace to fill each and every heart, but not as a feeling, but as a reality of trust that you are with us and you are for us. And Lord, I do pray that if there is someone right here this morning, and today's the day of salvation for them where they cry out to you, Holy Spirit of God, would you do that work in their heart? In Jesus' name we pray.